You're listening to the Food and Farming Podcast from AHDB. Practical know-how to help your farm business.
Welcome to this AHDB podcast. I'm Andrew Palmer, Knowledge Exchange Manager for the pork sector, mainly based in the east of the region of the country. Today we are talking with my two guests from the Environment Agency, Helen Blower and Jackie Vale, to talk about the recent new cab card they have produced, predominantly aimed towards the outdoor pig producing sector. So I'll hand over to Helen first and then we'll go on to Jackie.
Hi Andrew, thanks. I've worked with the Environment Agency for nearly 20 years now as a officer in the East Anglia region, and some of you listening to the podcast may well know me as well from doing farm visits, particularly with outdoor pigs. And over the last couple of years, I've moved to a national role and looking at a varying number of roles, including outdoor pigs and regulation. And I'm now in the environmental land management scheme as well.
Thank you, Helen. And Jackie?
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Helen. Yeah, I've been working for the Environment Agency for more years than I care to remember. I'm currently working as a senior advisor in the National Agriculture Team. My responsibilities focus around the farming rules for water, regulation of farmers, and also working across with Natural England on the Catchment Sensitive Farming Partnership.
Lovely. Thank you very much for them introductions. Right, we'll get straight into a few questions, if you don't mind, ladies. Why the cab card now, and how can producers get hold of these new cab cards? And if one of you would like to give a little bit of an explanation what these cab cards are as well, please. We'll hand up to Jackie on that, please.
Okay, yes, thanks, Andrew. The Environment Agency has been working with AHDB and sort of other partners such as the Rivers Trust as well for the water company and the water companies as well, particularly in the East Anglian area. We wanted to build on the cab card that we've built and roll it out to pig farmers across the rest of the country. The cab card gives us sort of baseline information for all farmers, advice and guidance, on sort of what to do in those, if you're farming outdoor pigs. And we appreciate that outdoor pig enterprises are very different to other farms, and we wanted to make sure that we shared that advice on how people can operate without causing pollution and actually minimizing their risks. The card is available, I think, in a printed form, and it's also, I believe, available on the AHDB website, and I think we'll put some links out to where you can find that as well later. And, you know, part of the reason of doing it now is that we have been inspecting a lot more pig farms in the East Anglian region. And this card gives us the ability to sort of get relevant advice to the farmers that we inspect in a simple format where it's all in one place to help them to farm in a way that prevents pollution.
Lovely. Thank you, Jackie. Over to you, Helen. What is the best thing I can do as an outdoor pig farmer going forward?
Thanks, Andrew. So as an outdoor pig producer, before you put pigs onto a new site, you should really go and have a look at the site that you're proposing to put them on, assess it, visit it in different weather conditions. So when it's really dry, when it's really wet, particularly after heavy rain, and just notice what happens on that site. Are there any slopes? Are there any pathways that might act towards rivers, ditches, watercourses and things like that? What actions might you need to take? An important but difficult question to ask sometimes is the site actually suitable for outdoor pigs? Really risk assess it. Look at some of the guidance and advice that's on the AHDB website as well, which will help you with that. If you're not sure, you can get independent advice from a number of different sources. AHDB, as I say, have information on their website about locating outdoor pig sites and the correct way of doing that. Speak to your landowner as well, if you're a tenant, and decide on each other's responsibilities before the pigs go on there, while the pigs are on the site, and then what's going to happen after the pigs come off the site. So look in terms of, what soil and what actions you might take to get the land ready before the pigs go on, what happens while they're on there, who's responsible for different things. And then when the pigs come off, then who's going to take actions in terms of sorting any issues out that they've been on the site? Ensure you've got a written agreement in place regarding each other's responsibilities and that that's really clear. And again, really, if it isn't suitable for outdoor pigs, then don't put them on there. We appreciate that land for outdoor pigs is really in demand and hard to come by, but it's really important that you make sure that that site is suitable location to start with.
Thank you, Helen. What's the biggest risks outdoor pigs provide from an EA perspective? Helen.
So the biggest risk really for us, Andrew, is diffuse and point source pollution to water, whether that be to rivers, to roads, to groundwater and things like that, or the roads might act as a sort of pathway and assist in diverting that water along the roads and into rivers and things like that, and to ponds. So this is generally in the form of soil runoff. And with that, you get water and nutrients with the runoff and sort of poo and urine concentrated within that runoff. This is why we recommend implementing appropriate mitigation measures such as buffer strips, cover crops, things like that, all before the pigs go onto the site, so that they have a good long time to get established, you know, a good number of weeks before the pigs go on there, so that those cover crops and all those different mitigation measures are well established and in place before the pigs go on there. Have a plan as well of what you want to do with the site, how you'll operate it. And if things do go wrong, as part of that plan, have an idea of how you will manage things before you go onto the site. What's the setup like? So AHDB have a very good resource there about how to lay a site out, a bit like an emergency plan as well, to show our offices in case things do go wrong and one of our offices has to visit you. At least you can show them then what you propose to do, what mitigation measures you are going to take, and also what you did at the start of the site, at the process before the pigs went on there. This gives you some protection as well as a farmer in case things do go wrong or we have extreme weather events like we're getting at the moment. Thanks, Andrew.
Lovely, thanks, Helen. Some real good practical advice there. Jackie, just to give Helen a bit of a breather, what happens if it goes wrong? What, and that farmers maybe, you know, the fingers point a little bit and he's caused a little bit of the pollution. What, you know, what can he do? What's the plan of action?
Right. Well, the first thing, thanks for that, is, you know, the first thing to do is to call the Environment Agency. Let us know that you think you've caused a problem. Do it straight away, because the sooner you can sort of stop the problem, the less damage you're going to do, the less follow-up there will need to be. The way to get hold of us, if it is an emergency, is on our pollution hotline, which can be called on is 0800 80 70 60. The staff on the end of the line will log the details of that. They'll take your details and they'll pass that information on to the local office for whatever appropriate action, depending on the severity of the incident. You can also contact our National Customer Contact Centre in those situations where it's perhaps less of an emergency. That number is 03708506506, and that will direct you to a local officer who can work with you, help you put things right, prevent pollution, talk through that emergency plan that Helen's just mentioned, so that you can sort of, so you're on the front foot and you're always prepared for those eventualities and hopefully prevent them happening in the first place.
Lovely. Thank you, Jackie. Just staying on that theme a little bit, Jackie, where else can farmers go to get some more information? You know, if you'd just like to expand a little bit on that, please.
Yeah, sure. I mean, well, as already mentioned, we can visit you on your farm. And when we're on site, we'll probably look around as much as we possibly can, so we make the best use of our time as well as your time. So that reduces the number of visits you need. As mentioned, I've given you those contact details. If you didn't get them, they're also available on the gov.uk website if you want us to sort out a visit. But then there are lots and lots of resources online as well. The AHDB website has loads of information on pig farming and preventing pollution. AHDB also runs events for pig farmers on occasion. I don't think there's anything immediately planned at the moment, although I think there may be something sort of being cooked up without the details being ready yet. It's also worth having a look at past recordings on the AHDB's website as well, because I think there was a trial fairly recently on the pigs in the rotation and using cover crops, and that might be a really useful resource. But, you know, there is a wealth of information there on the AHDB's website.
Lovely. Thank you, Jackie. Just going back over to Helen. Helen, you mentioned in some of your mitigation measurement management practices the use of cover crops. Is there any particular species that pig farmers should be looking at?
Thanks, Andrew, for that. So while the agency doesn't recommend specific species as such, what we can do is recommend that you do the following. So firstly, when you go onto the site, obviously check for any compaction. And the AHDB, and this is soil compaction, sorry, the AHDB has got some really good videos on their website about how to dig a soil pit and how to assess for compaction, look at what type of soil you've got as well. So do use those, they're really useful. And as I say, it's a video, so you can sit and watch it and do it while you're out in the field. Ensure that you've removed any compaction before and get the land, or you can get the landowner to help you do that before you take the land on. Make sure that the previous crop that's been on the land was suitable for outdoor pigs to follow. So don't put outdoor pigs on following crops like potatoes or veg or maize, because they're really not suitable. The soil has already been disturbed quite a lot, and it's really not going to be a good position to start from for outdoor pigs. You want to look at multi-species cover crops, such as those with tough grasses like fescues, timothies, rye grasses, and then in addition to any, some legumes, some clovers, things like lucerne and oil radish will help for compaction. These will all help to hold the soil together. So what we're aiming for is to keep some kind of crop cover on that soil as long as we can, you know, ideally all year round, so that it just helps to stop any loss of soil, loss of nutrients, and the crops, whether it be, you know, sort of different grasses and things like that, can utilize those nutrients that the pigs are putting out. They maintain the soil structure and stability, improves biodiversity, and provides grazing material as well. And while that might seem quite odd, you know, we've done some cover crop work with AHDB in trials, and pigs do obviously graze this material off to some extent. And the clovers and legumes in that mixes will also provide valuable protein sources, which are really good for a replacement of soya in the diets. And this also provides a good food source in drought conditions, which obviously we're getting with much more changeable weather conditions that we're having. So as well as helping soil health, organic matter and biodiversity, cover crops are really important for reducing pollution potential by reducing that loss of soil, helping to keep the soil and the water bound together and the water on your land and not obviously running off, utilising the nitrates and phosphates produced by the pigs. Cover crops and herbal lays have been shown to also improve pig health in a number of ways. And these studies and trials, as I've already mentioned, are available from AHDB. There are several companies out there that can provide both bespoke and standard cover crops, mixed species cover crops and herbal lays as well, so that, you know, you get that increase in biodiversity. And it's nicer environment as well for the staff to work in if it's got, you know, a cover crop on it rather than lots and lots of mud. And you get cleaner, healthier pigs as well. So that's fine. Thanks, Andrew.
I'm Andrew Palmer. I'm Knowledge Exchange Manager for AHDB Pork, predominantly in the pork sector. On today's podcast, we're talking to Helen Blower and Jackie Vale, both from the Environment Agency. One thing I was going to ask, you know, we talked about, you know, this very shift to more proactive management before outdoor pigs move on to land, etc. Now, you've mentioned the cover crops and take and grass lays before pigs get established onto the land. The first thing most producers are going to say, this is going to cost me extra money, this. And, you know, the pigs have not had a brilliant time the last 2 years, but there's still an additional cost there. You know, how can farmers look in alternative places to cover these costs prior to pigs going on? Helen, if you want to keep going.
Yeah, Andrew, for that. So, yeah, we do understand, obviously, that, you know, over the past sort of few years, although at the moment the pig industry is seeing a little bit of an upturn, really it's been in the doldrums for a number of years now prior to that. So we do understand that, you know, farmers haven't got a lot of extra money to splash about, really, to pay for these extra things that we're asking them to do. But some of the things that are now coming through in things like the sustainable farming incentive include options for tenant farmers as well as for landlords. And some of those things are, some of those options and actions that are available are only available to tenants, not landlords. So it's really worth having a look at some of these things. You've got buffer strip options. There are pollen nectar mix options, cover crop actions as well. There's soil management actions that came out last year. There are various different bird mixes, some hedgerow actions as well. And as we heard last week from the Secretary of State, there will be more actions available to farmers from this summer. And this is both in the form of new actions and also amended actions that are currently available. So we're trying to make them much more flexible as well. So short term and longer term, so that it fits with the rotation of a pig, outdoor pig producer, so that if you've only got 2 or 3 year tenancy, you can still sign up for those because they're on an annual basis. So you can either opt into them to continue them, or provided you've got you know, more than a year's commitment there, then you can go into that. So SFI is fully available at the moment now, and it's accepting applications. The access and experience farmers have when applying is being improved. The agreements for SFI are being issued very quickly, and those first payments are being made to farmers really, really quickly, often within a month or so of agreements starting. So that's really going to help farmers to pay for these. The payment rates for a lot of these things have also been increased recently, and farmers don't have to do anything to apply for those increased rates. They will come through normally. Countryside Stewardship as well may have some actions for you as well. And there's also some capital money to help with things like moving gateways and doing more capital works. Catchment sensitive farming is another option as well. They often have some grant money as well to help you with various different things. Partners like Rivers Trusts and water companies as well offer forms of funding for different actions as well. So there's lots of different things you can look at in terms of, you know, incentives and also being paid for some of these actions that we want you to do, and to help more long-term setup of the sites.
Yeah, that's a great answer, Helen. You know, and I've seen the work certainly with the HDB, and I've been doing in the last several years a lot of these partnerships with these other organisations, helping with a lot of funding alternatives. And we've had some real good results coming along. So just a quick question, Helen. We've talked a lot about above the ground. What about below the ground? How do you expect, you know, the producers to know what the soil structure's like? You know, what does he do before? What do they do before they move onto the land? You know, any quick tips or go-to places for that?
Yeah, so thanks, Andrew, for that. That's a really good question. So AHDB, as I've already said, have a number of really good videos on their website in terms of how to take soil samples, how to assess your soils and things like that. How to carry out soil assessments. The EA has a really good Think Soils publication as well, which has got lots of really good pictures in it. And while it hasn't got videos, obviously, because it's a booklet, it is available online as well. And the AHDB have an outdoor pig management guidance as well, which has been updated. We strongly recommend that you look at this information and use these assessment tools for every new site, and regularly review your existing sites as well. And as I say, look for things like watercourses, boreholes, potential pathways for runoff, what you've got on the field before the pigs go on there. And as I say, you know, I can't reiterate this enough, you know, do get a good cover crop on before the pigs go onto that site. And just think at the back of your mind, where am I going to have those tracks? Where am I going to store my straw, my feed? You know, think about source pathway and receptor as you go around the sites. Have a good idea of the layout. And with all the changeable weather that we're having now and these extreme weather events, whether it's really dry or whether really, really wet and really heavy thunderstorms, even in the summer, just take those precautions and plan those sites. You know, otherwise you do run the risk of opening yourself up for potential enforcement action if you do cause a pollution.
Thank you, Helen. Yeah, there's some real key areas there to go and get some help. It is out there, and we, you know, it does work very well. Just to give Helen a little bit of a break, Jackie, there's a lot of talk about climate change now, Jackie. You know, what's the feeling regards to farming and certainly outdoor pig producers? Is there anything that can be doing you know, potentially to start mitigating a little bit of that going forward?
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. Yeah, and thanks, Alan. I take a quick breather there. You've been talking a long time. Yeah, I won't have escaped anybody's notice that so much of the farmland in the Midlands and other areas across the country have been underwater in the last few weeks. And that's a result of these recent storms and the very, very high rainfall that's come. I'm pretty sure that kind of most farmers, whether you're farming pigs or not, will have already noticed that these warmer, wetter winters are actually becoming more frequent, along with the drier summers and the more sporadic rainfall. And that can be very heavy and intense. So rather than thinking of them as extreme events, I mean, we rather think of them as kind of becoming the new normal. So we need to be prepared for that, and we need to be taking action to do that, because, you know, the intense high rainfall can lead to a much, much higher risk of runoff, particularly if you've got compacted soil in the first place, or that it's bare. So coming back to the cover crops that Helen keeps talking about, this is right. You know, it's so important that you act now, that you're prepared, and that you make sure that your soil is actually in the best condition possible to prevent those problems. We want to make sure that you aren't actually contributing to the problem and the flooding by actually having that compacted soil, because if the rain can't infiltrate through the soil, it's going to go off the surface and straight out onto the roads. It's going to go out onto the fields. It's going to go onto people's houses as well. So, you know, anything you can do to sort of help disalleviate that problem would be great. So, you know, we'd advise you to carry out best practice, you know, and if not best practice, good practice, using it in buffer strips to reduce the risk, putting silt traps in to deal with any runoff. So, yeah, the bottom line is preventing runoff in the first place will put you in a much, much better position. So put those cover crops in, remove the compaction, and, you know, you need to be prepared, have an action plan, you know, have our number on hand so that you can call things if things do go wrong, or, you know, or you can sort it out yourself quickly and minimise those pollution risks.
So just to go back to what was just refreshing up on, we've talked a fair bit about proactive management in regards to pre-site selection, management, occupation and duration. What about the day-to-day stuff, Helen? What's the little things that just annoy you sometimes when you go on outdoor pig units and you see them little things? Just sort them out. You make life so much easier.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. I don't know about annoy me is quite right. But yeah, it's just considered really best practice, and I'm sure it helps the pigs as well. So they can be things like make sure you feed pigs in troughs and not on the ground. This minimises soil disturbance, and obviously the pigs may well pick up bacteria as well. Fix those water leaks that are as quickly as possible, really, so that you don't waste water and you can you don't cause pollution problems. This can also help reduce pollution and prevent poaching and damage to the pens. Be prepared to shut pens up as well and rotate pigs around to new pens. So have spare pens ready for them. And I understand, obviously, you know, on these outdoor pig sites, space is of a premium, really. But if you can have a few outdoor pigs pens ready that you can shut up and then swap them around, sort of cultivate the ones that get really damaged as well, if you need be, and reseed them, then that's really useful advice. So just keep that day to day thing in mind. Are keeping the site up to date and you know, in a good state of repair, really. So,
yeah, I can sort of back that sort of theory up regards to the rest pens, because some of the work we did with the cover crop trial, we had rest pen areas, and sometimes it can be, you know, slowly they look very poached and wet and the cover's gone, but sometimes as little as 4 to 6 weeks, the cover's come back. Just giving it that little bit of a break. So, you know, if you've got a space or you've got a bit of an area in the field that you think, well, that's only maybe summer occupancy, you know, just start planning a little ahead a little bit. And, you know, I can well recommend just doing these little things, because they do make a difference. Just to wrap it up a bit, Jackie, just to go over to you. There's a fair bit of regulation out there, you know, the farming foods for water and the NVZ, the natural vulnerable zones. How do they directly affect outdoor pig producers?
Okay, thanks, Andrew. Yeah, I mean, you know, as I'm sure people are aware, the Environment Agency's role is to regulate the environment, and we, you know, what we want to do is prevent problems and actually look after the environment in the first place. So ideally, we wouldn't want to have to use the regulations, but nonetheless, we have the regulations, and it is our job to enforce them. So as you've mentioned, we've got the farming rules for water, and they are a set of legal regulations that, you know, farmers and land managers must comply with. And in terms of pigs, they cover the spreading of manures and fertilisers and the prevention of soil erosion and runoff. So in terms of soil, you know, farmers have to take reasonable precautions to prevent soil erosion and the runoff caused by livestock poaching. They've got to plan also their use of manures and fertilisers. So any pig muck from pig arcs or tents must be included in nutrient management plans. And without outdoor pigs, this is actually likely to be the farmer who's rented out the land to the pig enterprise who has the responsibility. But as Helen said right up at the beginning, you have to be very clear about your responsibilities, what your agreement says with that land manager if you're renting that land. So be, you know, very clear what you are and aren't expected to do in terms of looking after the land and the soil. Farming rules for water, as do the nitrate vulnerable zones regulations, prohibit spreading of materials on the surface of the land within 10 metres of the surface waters and within 50 metres of boreholes. Now, I think there are plenty of boreholes, particularly in the east of the country, and you can find out where these are on the British Geological Survey site if you actually happen to have one of those on the land that you're farming. In terms of other regulations, we've also got the environmental permitting regulations, and they set out where it's an offence to cause pollution of rivers and groundwaters, and the farmers who have pig enterprises will definitely be covered by those, as if any soil or manures actually get into the water as part of the outdoor pig activities, you could be liable for some enforcement action there. We've also got, particularly in the east of the country, we've got source protection zone ones. And this is where you've got land that's been designated or sort of zoned to protect groundwater, because sort of so much of our water, drinking water, is being protected by these protection zones. And we would require any pig farmers to move out of those source protection one zones. To find out where they are, you can look at the MAGIC application on the gov.uk website. And that's really, really important, because that is about protecting everybody's drinking water. In terms of other regulations, we also have the NVZs, as that Andrew mentioned, and you've got to ensure that you comply with these regulations. And they designate areas at risk of nitrogen pollution from agriculture. And under the nitrate pollution prevention regulations, farmers actually have to take action to store, to plan, and to apply their organic manures and nitrogen fertilisers at specific times, in specific areas, and within specific application limits. And you've got to also keep records of that. And to find out whether you're in an NVZ or you have been in an NVZ, because you get reviewed fairly regularly, you every 4 years, you can also find those on the MAGIC application on the gov.uk site. So that's kind of the main regulations that would apply to pig farmers. And I think so we've got farming rules for water, we've got the source protection zones, we've got the NVZs, and we've got the environmental protection regulations. But I think that just about sums it up.
Thank you, Jackie, for that information. There's a lot of information there, and a lot of that relates to or is in conjunction with what was said earlier on in the podcast, where that conversation with the landowner, you know, the proactive conversation, so you're working things out together, the what-if scenarios, you know, and what could go wrong, but also what actions can be taken. That makes everything a lot better, you know, a lot of positive stuff out there as well. So what I'd like to do is just thank both Helen and Jackie for coming on this podcast with us. Any questions or any information, please feel free to contact me. Look at our website, look at the EA website, and let's just keep talking, because that's one thing that we've seen in the last several years is the proactive conversations, and it's benefited some real good results. And it's all just come from talking, the simple communication. So thank you very much for listening to this AHCB podcast, and thank you.
If you have any comments about this podcast or have ideas for future episodes, please email foodandfarming@ahdb.org.uk.